Glory to Jesus. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word of faith and power. Hallelujah. God's word is powerful. God's word is life-changing. Bible says the entrance of the word brings light and understanding to the simple. God's word better understanding. And I want to encourage you to just have an open mind in receiving the word of God. Bible tells us at James chapter 1 verse 21, therefore laying aside every superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. There's an attitude that is required in receiving the word of God. It is called meekness. Hallelujah. Where you are humbly receiving the truth, you are humbly considering the things that are said, hallelujah, and then you go back to search dutifully if those things are true. Glory to Jesus. So God's word has the ability to change our lives, but then an attitude is required of us. We're required to have a particular disposition or attitude towards receiving the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. Now, we've been studying sanctification. This is Every Day with Jesus broadcast, episode 70. We've been studying sanctification as one of the metaphors for salvation. And yesterday, there was an emphasis laid on a walk in the Spirit as our sanctification in Christ. That is our walk in sanctification. So we've been sanctified, set apart by God. And then an emphasis was made yesterday on what our own walk in sanctification is about. And then we've seen from scriptures out that we are to walk in sanctification not by trying to just pick up all forms of rules and codes of conduct and outward forms of godliness, but by a specific lifestyle which is spelled out in scriptures as a walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. A walk in the Spirit. Yesterday we also made a distinction very clearly between the word flesh and the word body. Hallelujah. And then we see how that the flesh is not always about the physical body. The flesh that opposes us as believers today is not anything in us or, you know, with us today. It's around us. It's in the world as an influence. We saw how that Galatians chapter 5, the use of the word flesh at Galatians 5 and Romans chapter 8 speak of the influence of the law. Hallelujah. The influence of the law. And Paul refers to this influence of the law as the basic principles of the world at Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. You may like to refer back to that tape in case you missed it. You can find it on www.soundcloud.com/EDWJ podcast. Or you can find it on this platform, mixlr.com. Just navigate to the show reel part. Show reel. You find previous episodes of the broadcast all uploaded on this platform. Glory to Jesus. They'll make for very, very interesting studies. Hallelujah. So let's quickly make progress today. And I want to emphasize holiness again, sanctification as our positional reality. Hallelujah. I've heard Christians who say that they don't feel holy enough, they don't feel righteous enough, they don't feel sanctified enough for the Holy Ghost. And then they are tiring and waiting and trusting God to give them His Spirit after they have amended all their ways and they have become better people and stuff like that. Amazingly, the Holy Ghost was given to sinners. Glory to Jesus. The first time the Holy Ghost came on the face of the earth, he came to sinners. It was given to sinners. In fact, right from the Old Testament, you discover that God had always worked with imperfect people by Spirit. As a matter of fact, look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Glory to Jesus. See, the Holy Ghost residing in men or dwelling with men or using men has never been as a result of men's perfection. It is totally God's providence, God's goodness, God's prerogative, God's choice. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at this carefully. I'll read from verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, knowing until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You see, the holy men of God in this particular verse of the Bible refer to the Old Testament prophets, Men who were not perfect in their actions. Men who were flawed. Hallelujah. We have the likes of Moses. We have Isaiah. We have Jeremiah. You see, men of God in the Old Testament. Old Testament prophets that were not perfect in themselves. Moses had serious temper issues. Yet, the Holy Ghost was upon him for a mighty task. Hallelujah. So, the Holy Ghost had always worked with men, used men, in spite of their imperfections. So, the idea of a believer today who is trying to merit the Spirit of God, is trying to do everything to be clean enough for the Holy Ghost to come and inhabit him is very strange. It's strange both to the Old Testament and to the New Testament. Hallelujah. You don't try to make yourself clean and holy for the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. In fact, without him, you have no holiness. Glory to Jesus. That's why it is strange to say that you are trying to become holy enough for the Spirit of God. Many times we overrate sin, we overrate the works of the flesh. I'm not saying sin is not an issue. I'm not saying sin is not a big deal. You know, sin is a big deal. But then Christ came upon the scene and demobilized Satan. Hallelujah. Christ came upon the scene and put an end to the sin problem. Such that in Christ today, sin is not a big deal. To the world, sin is such a big deal because they haven't found the solution until they meet Jesus. But you see, when there's a solution, you can't be reckoning the problem as a big deal anymore. So nobody is saying that sin is not sin or sin is not grave. However, sin is not to be overrated above God's solution. The Spirit of God would, always overwhelm the impact and the influence of sin anywhere the Spirit is allowed. Anywhere the Spirit is received, the Spirit will overwhelm the impact and the influence of sin. Glory to Jesus. So holiness is not something we achieve and strive to get by ourselves. Holiness is an influence of God's Spirit in our lives. Glory to God. So holiness is God's peculiar attribute. Remember, we said this earlier in these teachings. Holiness is God's peculiar attribute. God is the only one referred to as holy. Revelation 22. So, and I said that the reason why man can never be holy apart from God is because holiness belongs to God. Hallelujah. So God doesn't demand holiness from men. He can't demand it from men because men do not have the ability to produce his holiness. At Romans chapter 7 verse 14, the man Paul says, "For the law is spiritual." And we know that the law is spiritual. "But I am carnal, sold under sin." So he refers to himself as carnal, outside Jesus. That is, outside Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." So the man outside Christ is unspiritual, is carnal, is a natural man. It's in Christ man becomes spiritual. Hallelujah. So you can't be demanding holiness, which is a spiritual quality, from a man that is carnal. So holiness is not something God demands. God doesn't make a demand of holiness from men who are carnal and sinful. God supplies it. Hallelujah. Because holiness is God's peculiar attribute, he doesn't demand it. He shares it with people. Hallelujah. In fact, God shares it with anything he chooses. He makes things and people holy by choosing them. That's how come we have, things like holy city in the Bible. Matthew chapter 4, verse 5. Bible says, "And the devil," look at this, Matthew 4, 5. "Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you.'" So, holy city. Hallelujah. The holy city. And Matthew 27 verse 53, Bible says many saints who were dead, Old Testament saints, came out of their graves after the resurrection of Jesus, and then they went into the holy city. Glory to Jesus. The holy city. The holy city refers to Jerusalem. Because God chose Israel, they began to refer to their city as a holy city. That's how come we have holy things. There are things that were referred to as holy in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 13. Look at this now. 1 Corinthians 9 and 13. Holy things in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Holy things. And it will surprise you, or it will shock you, that the things referred to as holy things were very, very ordinary and carnal things. Natural things. But they were referred to as holy because God chose them. 1 Corinthians 9:13. Look at this now. Bible says, do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? The things that he was referring to here, the things that were referred to as holy things which they were ministering, were those, you know, carnal ordinances, foods and drink, and all kinds of sacrifices, and they were partaking of those sacrifices too as priests. So they were referred to as holy things. That is, things set apart unto God. Hallelujah. Things set apart for the service of God according to the Old Testament. And that's the same way the ground Moses stood on when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the burning bush experience was referred to as a holy ground. Acts 7:33, even in the New Testament, it's referred to as holy ground. Acts 7:33, glory to Jesus. Of course, it was quoting the Old Testament. Then the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. When did that ground become holy? When the angel of the Lord stood on that ground. Hallelujah. So for staying on that ground, for standing on that ground, and choosing that ground at that point in time as a point of contact with Moses, it became a holy ground. It became a ground set apart for sacred use. Hallelujah. That's the same way all the articles, all the vessels, all the things, cups, pitchers, everything used in the Old Testament, tabernacle and temple, were referred to as holy, holy vessels, holy things. Glory to Jesus. They were holy. Why? Because they had been set apart to God's use. So you notice that there was nothing in those vessels, in those objects. There was nothing in Jerusalem as a city, for instance, that makes us refer to it as a holy city. There's nothing there. In fact, Jerusalem is just like every other place. So what made the difference? God's choice. Hallelujah. God's choice. And that's how come in the Old Testament, men that were mightily used of God were ordinary men. Ordinary men. They were just like every other person. But because the Holy Ghost came upon them for service, they were set apart. They became extraordinary. They were no more common amongst men. They were referred to as holy men. And there was nothing in them per se that set them apart from that choice of God. Glory be to Jesus. Because men that were chosen of the Spirit, there were certain things that followed them. They were the ones prophesying. They were the ones speaking concerning Jesus. They were the ones walking in mighty acts. Hallelujah. They were the ones walking in acts of power. So there were certain things that people saw in their lives. Glory to God. That made them realize that these men are different. These men are holy. They are set apart. They are not the same set of people. They are not common. They are sacred. Hallelujah. Now, in the New Testament, it is God's choice of us also that has made us holy. God's choice of us in the New Testament, in Christ Jesus, is the reason why we are called holy today also. It's just different that this time around, it is not an external influence. It's an inward influence. Hallelujah. It's an inward reality. God has chosen us by His Spirit. And this time around, the Spirit is not just upon us. The Spirit is within our hearts. Galatians chapter 4 verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So God sent His Spirit into our hearts. Hallelujah. Into our hearts. So the choice of us today is not an external influence. God did not just put His Spirit upon us to depart at any time. God put His Spirit within our hearts. Hallelujah. And because we are carriers and temples of the Spirit of God, we are holy in the sight of God. Glory be to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Look at this now. 1 Corinthians 3:17. We are referred to as the temple of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 3:17. Let me start from 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit of God dwells within us today. Amen. You can't be more holy than this. The Holy Ghost is within you. And that is the holiness. Hallelujah. You can't improve upon this holiness. For having the Spirit of God, you have become holy in the sight of God. Hallelujah. So the Bible refers to us as the temple of God. Verse 17, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are? We are the temple of God. The Holy Ghost of God is within us today. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Glory to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Bible says, Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Spirit of God who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? He says our bodies are temples of the Spirit of God. So God has made us holy today in Christ by his choice of us. God chose us by his Spirit, and that choice of us is what has made us holy in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1, look at this. Ephesians 1, 3 to 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. He says God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now verse 4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God chose us to be. Hallelujah. So we don't try to be. We don't labor to be. We don't work to be. God chose us to be. Hallelujah. His choice of us made us. So God chose us, and by that choice, we became all that God intended. We became God's holiness. Hallelujah. We became God's righteousness. His choice of us made us holy in his sight. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. God has chosen us, and that choice of us is by his Spirit. The man that has the Spirit of God is the man that is holy in the sight of God today. You don't need to do any other thing to become holy. Hallelujah. That's why our walk in sanctification is not a journey to become. It's not a journey to attain unto something. It's a journey to express that which we have received in Christ. We have become holy in the sight of God. And as we walk in our sanctification, we give expression to that holiness that we have received in Christ. Hallelujah. So that's why in the walk in the Spirit, what we bear is the fruit of the Spirit. You don't walk in the Spirit to have the Spirit. That's even very funny. You can't walk in what you don't have. So you walk in the Spirit because you have the Spirit. But as you walk in the Spirit, you now begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit begins to find expression through you. But you must walk in the Spirit. Glory to Jesus. So we are not trying to have. We are not trying to become. We are trying to give expression to the gift of God on the inside. Glory to Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20 to 21. Ephesians 2, 20 to 21. Look at this. Bible says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows up into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You know, Bible says we are being fitted together and we are growing into a holy temple in the Lord, and that we are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You see, if God dwells in a man, such a man cannot be trying to become holy. I mean, this is God dwelling in you. You are housing God, the very one who is holy, the only one who is holy, and that is holiness to you also. Hallelujah. His presence in your life is holiness. Glory be to God. God's presence in our lives is holiness. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Glory to God. Ephesians 5, 25 to 20 to 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So who does the sanctifying and the cleansing? Christ. Verse 27. That he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So Jesus presents us to himself. Jesus has presented the church to himself as a glorious church, a holy church, without spot, without blemish. Jesus did the presenting. Hallelujah. That is, by his sacrifice, the outcome of his sacrifice, the outcome of our faith in him, is that we have been presented to him as a glorious church. Hallelujah. A glorious church. Without spot, without wrinkle, holy in his sight, blameless in his sight. Hallelujah. Have you seen? It is by what he did. It is by his choice of us. Colossians chapter 3 verse 12. Glory to God. Colossians 3 12. Bible says, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. He says, as elect of God. So we became holy and beloved by God's election of us. Hallelujah. God elected us. The word elected is the word that means to be chosen, to be selected. It means a favorite. Hallelujah. So God's choice of us made us holy and beloved in his sight. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. Glory to God. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. Look at this carefully. God's choice of us in Christ makes us holy. God's choice of us in Christ has made us holy because we're chosen in Christ by the giving of his Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. Bible says, you also, as living stones. Let's read from verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So he says, we are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus, that is, he says, coming to him, that as we came to Jesus and we were found in him, we became a spiritual house. Hallelujah. We became a holy priesthood. Verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So we became a holy nation, a royal priesthood, because we were chosen in Christ. So Bible describes us as a chosen generation. A generation that has been chosen by God. God's choice of us is what has made us holy in his sight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Glory to Jesus. Look at this. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13. God's choice of us is what has made us holy in Christ Jesus. As long as God has chosen us, we are holy in his sight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Glory to God. Bible says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Have you seen? God chose us for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. So God's choice of us is our sanctification. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. God's election of us, God's choice of us, is the reason why we are holy and without blame in his sight. 1 Peter 1, 1 to 2. Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He says, elect according to God's foreknowledge, in sanctification of the Spirit. So you see that we are sanctified in our election. Hallelujah. In God's election of us, we are sanctified. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Bible makes us realize that sanctification is by the giving of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 11. Glory to God. Look at this. Bible says from 1 Corinthians 6, 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We were sanctified, washed, justified by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God in us is holiness. The Spirit of God in us is holiness. And I dare say that sin can never contaminate the Spirit. Sin can never take away the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. See, you see, a believer cannot be so sinful that the Spirit of God will have to leave or be sent packing. Why? Because the believer is the house of the Holy Ghost. Is the house of God. It's the house of God. So it is sin that will leave. Glory to Jesus. You know, you can't send a man out of his house. You can't send a man packing from his house. You can never evict a man from his house. Hallelujah. A man that knows his right, you can't evict him out of his house. Sin is the stranger here. The Holy Ghost is the lawful occupant in the heart of every believer. The Holy Ghost is the lawful occupant in the heart of every believer, because sin has been dismissed. Hallelujah. Sin has been sent packing. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Glory to Jesus. You know, we just read 1 Corinthians 6:11, how that it says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And if you read in context, it was talking about how some were homosexuals, fornicators, idolaters, and all that. And then he says, such were some of you, but you've been washed. Now this sin has been sent packing. So sin is a stranger here today. Sin is a stranger in the life of a believer today. When we see sin, when we see a believer wallowing in sin, we see a man mingling with a stranger. Hallelujah. We see a man mingling with a strange influence. Hallelujah. Why? Because sin has been sent back in. And the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, God's holiness, is the lawful occupant in the heart of every man, of every believer today. Glory be to God. So, at Ezekiel, look at Ezekiel, for instance, Ezekiel 36, verse 25, when the Holy Ghost came, sin was dismissed. Hallelujah. Verse 25 to 27, glory to Jesus. Bible says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will clean you from all your filthiness, and from all your idols. I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Have you seen? I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Sin does not dwell in the believer anymore. Hallelujah. Sin does not dwell in us anymore. Sin has been sent packing. It is now an external influence. It is a stranger. Glory to Jesus. So the idea of the Holy Ghost living because a believer has sinned is funny. The believer is endured by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the lawful occupant of the believer. Hallelujah. He occupies the believer so much that the believer is called the temple of God, where the Spirit of God dwells. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of God dwells. The Holy Ghost is the sanitizer. He came into our lives and dismissed sin by his presence. Glory be to Jesus. So it's too late to say that sin can overwhelm the Holy Ghost. And then one day the Holy Ghost will be so tired. And will be so tired and fed up. And then he now leaves and gives up. No. God owns you. Hallelujah. He possesses you. You were bought with a price. Hallelujah. It's not that easy. You were bought with a price. God owns you. He's your lawful owner. Glory to Jesus. So he's not going to let you go. He's not going to leave you. He possesses you. You are his purchased possession. Glory be to God. You are God's purchased possession. We are God's purchased possession, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are endured by the Spirit of God. And Bible refers to that Spirit as the seal of God upon our lives until the day of final redemption. Hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost is going nowhere. His presence in us is the holiness of God. His presence in us is the guarantee of a perpetual holiness for the believer. The believer is perpetually holy. The day you get it right, the day you do not get it right, the day you walk in sanctification, the day you don't, you are always holy in the sight of God. However, Scripture encourages us and instructs us to walk in our sanctification. Hallelujah. But with or without a walk in sanctification, there's first a holy status. Hallelujah. A holy status bestowed upon us, not by anything we have done, but by the presence of the Spirit of God within our hearts. We are carriers of the Spirit of God. We are the house, we are the temple of the Spirit of God. And because we are the house and the temple of the Spirit of God, we are holy in the sight of God. God has made us holy by his choice of us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God has chosen us. You see, everything in God's hand is holy. Everything that God touches and owns is holy. Now, God has not just touched us or owned us externally. He has honed us by his Spirit. We all are endured by the Spirit of God. God's choice of us by his Spirit today is the reason why we are called holy. Hallelujah. God in us by his Spirit is his holiness in us. Hallelujah. So we are holy perpetually before the Father because his Spirit is at work in our hearts. His Spirit dwells within our hearts. Now, just in case you are listening to this broadcast and you are doubting whether you truly have the Spirit. You see, I'm a Christian. I've been going to church, but I'm not sure if I have the Spirit of God. And your reason is simple. Your reason is that you don't feel like you have the Spirit. Well, whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it, if you are born of the Spirit of God, imagine that. Born of the Spirit of God, then you have the Spirit of God. That which is in John chapter 3, verse 6, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Bible refers to the new birth as being born of the Spirit. So just the same way man is born of the flesh and he has the flesh automatically, the man that is born of the Spirit must of necessity have the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because you are born of the Spirit, you have the Spirit of God. It's that simple. And Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. He is not his. Have you seen? If a man does not have the Spirit of God, he's not his. You can't claim to be in Christ and you don't have the Spirit of Christ. You can't claim to be born of God and you don't have the Spirit of Christ. You can't claim to be a child of God and you don't have the Spirit of Christ. How then did you become a child of God? How then did you become born of God? How then did you become a believer in Christ? It is only through the agency of the Spirit we are born into the family of God. Hallelujah. Nobody is born into the family of God. Nobody belongs to the body of Christ outside the work of the Spirit, outside the agency of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. It says, for we all have been baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. We all have been baptized by one Spirit into the body. Hallelujah. Into one body. All of us baptized into one body by the same Spirit. Glory to Jesus. So you are not a member of the body of Christ if you don't have the Spirit of God. So if you are believed in what Jesus did, If there was ever a day you believed the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, rose again on the third day, he was buried, he rose again, he ascended for your sins and for your justification, hallelujah, and that by faith in him you are saved and delivered and justified from the power of sin and hell. See, if there was any day like this, you heard the gospel, you heard this message, and you believed, then you have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Then you have the Spirit of God. Feelings or no feelings, you have the Spirit of God. Rather than waiting to feel whether you have the Spirit of God, it is time for you to begin to search the scriptures to know and to be assured from the word of God, to be assured of your inheritance in Christ, to be assured of the fact that you are a possessor of the Spirit of God. Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 16, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. Now guess where the witness of the Spirit is? The word of God. Hallelujah. The witness of the Spirit is not just something in your head. The witness of the Spirit comes only as you take a purposeful gaze into the word of God. You must set the scriptures to find the witness of the Spirit concerning you. Hallelujah. And the witness of the Spirit concerns in every man that is born of God today is that such a man possesses the Spirit of God. Such a man is of Christ. Such a man possesses the life of God. Such a man possesses the nature of God. Such a man possesses the Spirit of God. That's the witness of the Spirit. Let me close with Ephesians 1:13. We've been quoting this in this series, Ephesians 1:13, glory to Jesus. Bible says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What does it take to have the Spirit of God? To believe. Having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. It doesn't say having prayed, or having tarried, or having fasted, or having waited. No, it says having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So, because all it takes to receive the Spirit of God is to believe in the report of the gospel, is to believe in what Jesus has done. The man that believes in the gospel is the man that is given the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So we all have the Holy Ghost. We all believers in Christ Jesus. We have the Spirit of God in our hearts today. And because of that, we are perpetually holy and righteous, holy and sanctified in the sight of God. Holy and without spot and sanctified, without spot, without blame, without blemish in the sight of God forever and ever. Hallelujah. Do go to tune in tomorrow. Invite somebody, your friends, relatives, colleagues, classmates, put on your social media status, and let's just come together again to have a great time in the Word of God. Do have a great day of being full of the Word, Spirit, spiritual songs, prayers, and don't forget to be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.